Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. If you like a determiner, family, pet, ancestry, if you like that joke that I made and then bought a URL because it made me laugh. Anyway, let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen. He will sing again his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Vilmos fixes the website, JackieCation.com, and Patrick Brady is going to fix this audio. There are many ways to support the show, including buying the items that are advertised if they are of any interest to you. I check them out, try to make sure that they are good. So that's what you should do if you like the idea of some of the items that are being advertised. You could also just donate to the show if you like. The PayPal buttons are on JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, and you can just donate to the show. I haven't made it super easy for you to donate regular, but I think PayPal has. You can also Venmo me money if you don't like PayPal. My email address is Jackie@JackieCation.com for such an event. You can support the show by using the Amazon button or banner on JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com. It's just a portal, brings you over to Amazon. You order like normal, it supports the show. Other ways is you can get merch. If you like the idea of a Dork Forest t-shirt, there's two different styles. All the shirts that I sell on JackieCation.com are union-made here in America, so they run a little big, just so you know. They're Bayside Union t-shirts out of Arkansas. So, other than that, you can just talk up the show. You could review it on iTunes or tell your friends and family, this type of thing. You do whatever you need to do to support the show. On the merch page, if you want to support my stand-up comedy, you can buy my CDs or DVD. Everything's available digitally on Amazon and iTunes and all the places where you download audio. Because you can stream it on Spotify and Pandora and all of those things. And my DVD is actually streaming if you don't want to own a hard copy of the DVD, which is only available on JackieCation.com. But if you only want to stream it and just watch it, it's called This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. It is a version of That Hour. And it is on ComedyFilmNerds.com on their store page. If you have listened to all of the episodes of The Dork Forest, there are probably a dozen or 20 premium episodes over at thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. They're just live episodes that cost me a couple of bucks to put up. So I charge you a couple of bucks. But there's hundreds and hundreds of free episodes. But if you run out, you can go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com and get some live episodes if you like. There is a calendar on JackieCation.com that tells you where I'm doing stand-up comedy. This week, I'm in Los Angeles until I head off to open for Maria Bamford in Royal Oak and then Cincinnati. So follow me on Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and all the things, at Jackie Cation. Enough. Let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm in my living room, you guys, and I am with the co-host of Hot Mess Comedy Hour, Emily Lubin.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. I had your co-host, Andrea, on. We spoke of rugby and rage.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm very familiar with her history with rugby.
Yes, I imagine you are. Now, you, Emily Lubin, New York comic.
Yes.
At Hot Mess Comedy Hour on Instagram, but at Hot Mess Comedy Podcast on Twitter.
At Hot Mess Podcast.
Just Hot Mess Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. And then at Lubination. Which these will all be in the notes, folks, to just follow you on Twitter to find out about your stand-up and more about the pod and stuff like that, right?
Do it.
All right. So, Emily Lubin, we don't know each other. We're going to know about each other. Well, I'm going to know about you and your dorkdom, which seems to be dance movies.
Yes.
How old? How far back do you go?
Oh.
Are there like a half a dozen that you love the best? What's happening?
So, how far back? Since infancy.
Okay.
I mean, who was not raised on, like, Dirty Dancing, Flashdance?
Sure.
Strictly Ballroom, although that's kind of a separate genre in a way.
What is the genre?
Well, the genre
How do you split it up?
Okay. So the genre that I get really into specifically now would be, like, hip-hop, dance, movies, with also a dramatic undertone, something at stake.
Always something at stake.
Yeah.
In a dance movie, there's almost always a B plot that is incredibly dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
If you think about Footloose and Dirty Dancing, those are two of my great examples of the B-plot being super important.
Yeah, Footloose is another huge one.
Right. And the B-plot, and I've said this 100 times, I'll say it 100 times more. Rangers, you know it. Footloose's B-plot, of course, censorship is bad. Mm-hmm. Dirty Dancing's B-plot is keep abortion legal.
Yes.
Everything has some sort of, there's always, it's to a beat, that's all.
Yeah, it's not really about dancing.
Right. The dancing is just a bonus.
The dancing's a bonus, and the dancing is there to add sexual tension.
Right.
Which, you need that for a good movie. So.
They're romantic dance movies is what they usually are. Like, there's ice dancing movies.
Cutting edge, baby.
That's it. That's one of them. I can't think of another, quite honestly.
I'm sure there are, but I can't name them off the top of my head. That's the main one, I think.
Yes, I think that is the gold standard.
Yeah, and Cutting Edge, I have to say, I loved it when I was younger.
Sure.
It doesn't hold up.
Have you tried to watch it kind of recently? Okay.
Yeah, they play it on like ABC Family.
Hallmark.
All of those channels.
Christmas.
Yeah, around Christmas, they'll play it, and it's always very disappointing. I'll want to watch it and get, like, nostalgia for what I loved about it when I was little, but it doesn't really hold up. Also, the premise is not very strong because it's about an ice skater who partners with a hockey player.
Right, and I don't understand. So he can't play hockey anymore, but he can – there's nothing less demanding about skating dancing.
Professionally, competitively.
Ice skating? Like dance? That sounds just as competitive. I mean, I don't know a lot about any of it.
It's insanely competitive. And it's a type of skating that is completely different from the skating involved in ice hockey.
Right.
So not only do you need to have the discipline to be practicing for hours and hours every day, but this is a new craft.
Skill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just they actually put it out there as, oh, this will be easy compared to what you used to do.
Right. It's just dancing. It's just, yeah.
This is a man's thing, hockey. This will be just like a piece of cake because it's a girly thing.
Yeah.
And then guess what?
It's never just dancing.
It's never just anything.
No.
It's a different skill. You have to relearn it.
Yeah.
And so, I wonder if he did. That was an actor, right? I mean, it wasn't an ice skater guy turned actor.
They must have had stunt doubles.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, but it was an actor, for sure.
Right. Yeah, because he's an actor.
Yeah, and what's her name? Moira Kelly or Moira.
Sure.
I think that's her name.
Good one.
Moira Kelly.
Right.
I don't know. She was in some things back in
the 80s. Everybody was working.
Yeah.
He looked sort of like an early version of John Cusack. Or Paul Rudd.
Yeah, they both have like those boyish good looks.
Yeah, that sort of brown hair, normal features.
Sandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and kind of just like he looks like somebody that you could have gone to high school with.
Very much so.
That's how I describe those people.
He looked too little to be a hockey guy.
You think?
I thought he looked, I don't know how big hockey guys are, but
I don't know. I imagine it's probably like football in that like there are varying sizes depending on like how hard
role?
You need to get hit.
Okay.
You know, quarterbacks are a little more slender,
right,
typically.
Because they're usually being protected.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they have to have a good arm, whereas the running back or the tailback or the fullback would usually be a little bit more muscular. And
you seem to know a great deal about football.
I watch Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
That's another dorkdom that I have. Zero knowledge about football.
Is there
football.
Any dancing in Friday Night Lights? There ought to be.
In season one, the coach's daughter was, she did some dancing. But the scene in which she did the dancing, it was very early 2000s-esque. They were wearing lots of layers. Back in the early 2000s, it was very trendy to wear different long tank top, wife beater style tank tops in different colors and then layer them.
Oh, right.
With skirts and leggings that were also – yeah, so it was very that was very present in the dance. That's all I remember about it. I mean, that's cutting edge is not, It's like an adjacent. It's a dance movie adjacent. Right.
So it's not your go-to genre, much like Strictly Ballroom isn't.
Yeah.
Right?
But they're offshoots. They're like, it's a similar thing that I can get into.
And push came to shove. You would watch such a thing if you needed a dance movie.
Oh, I would watch it any time of day, any day of the week. If you say, Emily, listen, I'm not doing anything.
This is the only dance movie we have.
This is all we have. It's on Bravo right now. Do you want to come over and like make nachos and watch Strictly Ballroom? I'd be like, I will be there in 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. I like the plan where it's someone's called you. You got 20 minutes. I'm going to start hotting up some cheese.
Mm-hmm. Even if I know it would take me 25 minutes to get to their house, I will be there in 20 minutes. That's how down I am.
Okay. That is the nacho edition. I think you sold me. And
yeah.
I don't even like nachos.
You don't like nachos?
I know it. I'm made of stone. I don't hate nachos, but they're never I never order a nacho.
They're not your go-to app.
It's true.
If you had an appetizer sampler, so like four appetizers on a plate, and I'm talking any appetizers,
yes.
but your standard apps, like Applebee's, TGI Friday, apps.
Right.
What would you pick?
Well, this is an interesting question. I will answer it if you also then – I have a food-related question, but right back at you.
Sure.
Here's what I would get. I would get just a small – it would be appetizer. It should be like five wings. I like a wing.
Okay.
A chicken wing. Bone in. Not a tender. Yeah. Not a
– Okay. Are we talking buffalo sauce, teriyaki sauce?
I like a buffalo.
Okay.
I like naked with a dipping sauce. I don't like a ranch. I just like either a dry rub or a hot – buffalo standard original style.
Okay, so no ranch, no blue cheese?
No. I just like to eat – I like chicken a great deal. Anyway, so a chicken wing. Other than that, on this thing, what are the other options? There are like poppers. There's
jalapeno poppers, mozzarella sticks, onion rings, potato skins.
I like a mozzarella stick.
Okay.
Potato skins, not so much.
Yeah, they always sound better than they are.
They really do because you want them to be crispy and they usually aren't. So going to go that and then – I don't know, mozzarella. If I were to pick two, and then, I mean, I like fries and rings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I like mozzarella sticks or like a fried cheese curd. I like better than a mozzarella stick.
I've never had
that. Not a fried cheese curd?
No.
I'm from Wisconsin. The fried cheese curd has made a huge resurgence in the last 15 years.
Okay.
Cheese curd used to be garbage. They are now some sort of artisanal appetizer that cost $11.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it like to get a good cheese curd, you have to go to Wisconsin or?
You know, there's kind of – they're doing them in weird little boutique-y diners here. Like there's a diner on – Ventura called the Blue Jam, and I believe they have a fried cheese curd.
Okay.
And they're just, you know, it's like somebody from Wisconsin or wherever cheese curds came from was like, we're doing this, and then they brought them here, and then they do them right. And
yeah.
So I've had mediocre cheese curds as well, and mediocre fried cheese curds, which can be done. Now, here's my question back at you. You're ordering your own pan pizza, so it's just a pizza for you.
Okay.
What's your favorite kind of pizza?
Plain cheese margarita pizza.
Oh, red sauce and cheese.
Yeah. I am kind of a snob when it comes to certain foods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very – I'm not proud of this, but it's very much
– But you've embraced it.
I've embraced
it. It's the way to go.
And I just got to say, like, these are my flaws. And if you're going to be a part of my life, these are the things that you need to accept about me. I'm from New York, so
right.
I'm kind of a snob when it comes to pizza and bagels.
Okay.
So
I agree about bagels. I don't have a horse in the pizza race. I do not have a horse in the pizza race.
So the pizza thing, I can see a little bit more like why you'd want to throw a lot of toppings on there because it's kind of like did you ever go to Cold Stone Creamery?
Yes.
So the whole idea of Cold Stone Creamery was you pick your toppings and then they mix it all up in front of you.
Right.
And obviously the first time you go, you think, how could I possibly choose a reasonable number of toppings?
Right.
The more toppings, the better. The more toppings, the more fun.
Yeah.
But then if you go a couple times and each time you're getting like seven or eight toppings.
You're not eating ice cream.
You're not eating ice cream.
I'm a bit of an ice cream snob myself. Just because I'm from Wisconsin, I like a frozen custard.
Me too. Oh my gosh.
When I do an ice cream, first time I go to an ice cream shop, I always get the vanilla. because I figure if they do the vanilla right, next time I could try a mint chocolate chip. I could try a Cherry's Jubilee at a Baskin Robbins. Whatever's happening. But I usually try the, you know, the vanilla first.
You need to start out with vanilla to make sure that you have a
they
good product.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah. I don't like this negative rap that vanilla has gotten from some people.
Vanilla, it's boring.
It's not boring.
No,
it's not boring.
It's exotic.
Vanilla is a blank slate, okay? Mm-hmm. Vanilla is the true measure of good ice cream, just like you said.
Right.
Which is the same, I think, for the margarita pizza.
Interesting. You're right.
If
you're
I'm
right.
trying out a new pizza spot, I've never been there before, especially if it's been labeled as like
some sort
the
of
best
claim.
Pizza in Brooklyn or the best pizza in Manhattan or wherever it is, I'm getting the plain slice.
Right. We're going to start at the beginning.
Yes.
And then because the next thing I usually get, and this did not used to be true. This is currently true. I will get the chocolate because, again, it is underestimated. The vanilla, the chocolate, they're just – people think that there's some sort of plainness there.
No.
You're like, that's what you want to start with. You want to start with the first thing and then make sure they're doing that right.
Yeah.
And then you want to put bubble gum and ice cream? First of all, that's between you and your gut. I'm not having that.
Yeah.
But whatever. Some people like it. And
you like what you like.
You like what you like. So I'm going to – but I like to start with the beginning and then get the – because I do like mint chocolate chip. And I like
me too.
I like a cherry sometimes with or like a frozen strawberry in it. So whatever. But
I like a good swirl, actually. Chocolate and vanilla twist.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'll frequently get if I'm getting like a frozen custard or soft serve. Yeah.
Interesting. Back to dance movies. I've loved this tangent a lot. So what I saw Drumline. Is that a dance movie or is
interesting question, Jackie. So I would say it is a similar genre. Drumline, I haven't seen in years, but I remember it being a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that what separates this genre that I specialize in from other genres that might have a dance element or might have a music element, a la Mr. Holland's Opus, which is also a great movie.
Right.
But
that's more about music than dance.
Yeah. But Drumline is a little more music than dance,
yeah,
too.
That is
but
too,
what I'm
that's
saying.
Marching band.
Or like School of Rock. Like all of these movies are good and they have an activity and they're musical and they're fun and they're awesome and they have a great B plot, whatever. What separates it for me is the character development.
Okay.
Because all of these movies start with the same thing. Not necessarily the same type of character, mm-hmm. but it's a character that has some self-discovery to do.
Oh, it's a coming of age.
It's a coming of age, and it's this person needs to learn to find themselves and express themselves through the art of dance.
Through the art of dance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk to me. So this is where you get into your Save the Last Dance, your Step Up.
Okay.
Step Up to the Streets.
Okay.
There's actually three of them. There's a whole trilogy for Step Up.
Okay.
They're all the third gets a little dicey, but the second I really like and have an appreciation for.
So the first two are pretty good.
The first two are pretty good.
Yeah.
For very different reasons.
So I have never seen Save the Last Dance, weirdly enough.
What?
I know. I think the Last Dance movie, I think the Last Dance movie I saw was something like Flashdance. I didn't even see Flashdance Havana.
You didn't even see Havana Nights?
I did not see Havana Nights.
Okay, Havana Nights. So this is a little complex, but I think you can handle it. So I'm going to throw this at
you.
Sure.
And spoiler alert, it's fine. These are movies from 25 years ago. Go.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to like... Yeah, I probably will give stuff away, but not at this very moment.
And it can't be ruined. These movies cannot be ruined. You're going to be fine.
Yeah,
everyone knows that.
The nuances and and the dance sequence, like you're not losing anything by knowing what is going to happen in the movie.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Hey, it's another ad for Home Chef. HomeChef.com/dork. If you enter dork at checkout, you get $30 off your first order. Home Chef is a home delivery of fresh ingredients with recipes where you could make different meal, and they deliver it every week. It's great. There's over 15 dinners to choose from each week. Each week it changes, and it's all kinds of meat, all kinds of vegetables. You can identify exactly what you like or don't like and want and don't want and what you're allergic to or aren't allergic to. The recipes are simple to cook but full of flavor, even if you're not a great cook. And if you are a good cook, it's kind of an interesting way to try new stuff and new ingredients. And they have more advanced recipes and simpler recipes for all the different levels, which is kind of great. And if you're doing it, let me know. Let me know what recipes you guys did. So you go to homechef.com/dork. You enter dork at checkout and you get $30 off your first order. Let's get back into the show.
The sequel to any of these movies, it never follows the format that I'm talking about with the character going on a sort of like Homer-esque odyssey of self-discovery.
Well, the inner journey is usually the second one. It's not that.
So that's always the first movie. The second movie is it's always a little bit more like now we have something to prove.
Oh, right. Right, yeah. Of course. So, they're the champion. They gotta defend the belt or whatever.
They have to stand their ground and make sure that nobody comes and stomps on their turf.
Fair enough.
So that's like step up to use that as an example. Step up the original.
Which I never saw. Who was in that? What was in that? What was it about?
Step Up 1 stars the very talented Channing Tatum.
Okay.
A young
Tatum. Sure.
And Jenna Dewan, who then became Jenna Dewan Tatum after meeting him in this movie.
Oh, my God. Did they fall in love and get married?
They fell in love in real life and got married. Now,
that's how we want showbiz to work.
It's like a dream come true in real life. It's like you're seeing dreams unfold on the screen,
right,
and then it manifests itself in real life. It's just so beautiful. It doesn't have a happy ending because they actually just got separated or divorced like 2 weeks ago or something.
Well, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie met, and he was married to someone else. That's less exciting.
That's true.
Yes, but these are work romances, you guys. Things happen.
And they're real people.
They're actual humans.
Relationships are complicated,
you know? Very much so. Anyway, so step up.
Okay, so step up.
Channing Tatum.
So Channing Tatum is a kind of like down on his luck foster kid. He grew up in the foster system, and he doesn't really have a direction of his life. He gets in a little bit of trouble. He and his friends break into a school at night, and they vandalize one of the rooms, like the concert room or something. So it's a performing arts high school that they break into. As his punishment, rather than going to, say, juvie or doing community service where he's picking up trash on the side of the street or what have you, he has to do community service at the school, the dance school.
Okay.
So he has to basically be a janitor. So he's a janitor, and then he meets Jenna Dewan, who is a very type A, very accomplished dance student, and she's a senior. And at the end of the senior year, they have a showcase, and she's all stressed out because she needs to perform well in the showcase because every director of every dance school and dance company is going to be there to see her perform.
Yes. Stakes are high.
Stakes are high. So Channing, he sees her practicing, and she needs a partner because her partner has an accident during rehearsal, breaks his leg.
That's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. So she's planning to do a solo because she can't find a new partner.
Right.
So then he's like, I'll be your partner.
Sure you will.
And she's like, you can't dance. That's ridiculous. But he proves to her that actually he can dance.
It's the Goodwill Hunting of dancing.
It is the Goodwill Hunting of dancing. Exactly. And he has his own style. He's clearly not a classically trained dancer.
Okay.
But he has his own, you know, hip hop flair that adds just the right pizzazz to her ballet routine that she needs to stand out in this showcase.
Makes it pop.
Makes it pop, makes it flash, sets it off, sets the whole thing off. So they perform together, and it turns out, and so they do fall in love in the end.
Sure.
But I think the more important takeaway is that he fell in love with dance and learned how to be his truest self.
That's it. It's given him sort of a direction in life.
Yeah.
It's a, that's what we all need. We all need a direction, just some sort of
task. We just need to be pointed in the right direction.
Yes.
We just need to be told, yes, you can come to this dance school on a full scholarship. And no, I don't care that you've never taken a lesson in your life.
And is he
You're
younger
just
than
that
her?
Fly.
Like, is he a high school kid as well?
He's a high school kid as well, but I don't know that it, I think in this imaginary world, it doesn't quite matter what year you are in school.
Right, right.
You know, yeah, it just matters about your level of accomplishment.
Right, sure. It's all just, it's merit-based.
Yes.
I like that. I like that. What about Step Up? I never said, now who's
that
in
is,
Step
so
Up?
That's Step
that was
Up.
Step Up.
That's Step Up.
Sorry, what was Saved by the Saved the Last Dance?
Oh, one of my favorites.
Okay.
Okay.
What years are these? Are they early 2000s or?
Step Up was probably 2005.
Okay.
Or so 2006, that
12
era.
Years ago. 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saved the Last Dance was earlier. Saved the Last Dance was, I would say, the year 2000 to 2001.
Okay.
So I saw it in theaters.
Okay.
I was in middle school at the time.
Right, right.
And I saw it in theaters.
And it was a dream come true.
Actually.
And Saved the Last Dance.
So, okay. I believe his name is Sean Patrick Thomas. He is so handsome. I loved him from the first time I laid eyes on him. I still love him. I don't know what he's doing now, but if you... Here?
If you're listening.
Yeah, if you're listening,
we're
please
in Los
reach
Angeles,
out to me.
Jackie
we're in Los
at
JackieCation.com.
I will be your Tinder connection.
Yes.
And we'll meet in a third, a separate place.
How incredible would that be if
it would
I,
be amazing,
if I got to and like he taught me how to dance too. This is another thing. I am not a dancer. I look goofy no matter what I do. I took a hip-hop class when I was in the eighth grade, and I had this affliction that I like to describe as raptor arms. I never knew what to do with my arms, so they kind of just like hang
– right.
Hung at the sides.
Okay.
And I did this all the time, not just when I was dancing, but my dance teacher was the one who pointed it out to me. And said, you know, you need to find a way to relax your arms because you're making the whole thing look clunky.
Right.
And it made me so self-conscious that now whenever I try to dance, I so don't want to revert back to the raptor position.
Right.
That I end up doing these weird mimey bar mitzvah dances that look 10 times dorkier than the raptor arms did
right.
to begin with.
Right.
But anyway, so I'm not a dancer. So it's kind of like, I think another reason why I enjoy them so much is because it feeds into my fantasy that I have that
right.
I'm on the dance floor and I'm like killing it and I'm also falling in love at the
right,
same time.
Right, right.
You know
so
what
these
I mean?
So these are two solid dreams that you're like, they're happening on this movie.
Combined into one.
Yeah.
So Save the Last Dance also stars Julia Stiles, who had a moment in the early 2000s. She was in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah.
And she's still, I mean... She's still
working.
A working actress,
yeah.
But like she had a moment. She was kind of like in all those teen movies.
Right, right.
So the basic storyline, and this is one of my favorite, this I think is one of the most quintessential plot lines for like this genre. I think it's the perfect case study actually. So she is pretty privileged, you get the sense.
Yep.
She's a ballet dancer, and mm-hmm. she's been doing ballet forever. She's trying to go to Juilliard.
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, this is all shown as a montage. So it's she's sitting on a train, you know, and she's looking real sad. You know she's headed somewhere, and this is, like, serious. So then there are a series of flashbacks, and it's showing the montage of everything that happened until then.
Okay.
So she grows up really privileged. She's a ballet dancer. She wants to get into Juilliard, and she lives with her mom, and it seems like her dad's not in the picture. So it's a single mom.
Okay.
And the mom's very supportive of her, and she has this audition coming up. A lot of these things revolve around auditions, by the way.
Oh, sure.
A lot of them, because it's like the
it's
peak
a chorus
of
line.
I need to impress.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very chorus line-esque.
Yeah.
So she keeps telling her mom, like, Mom, you have to come to my audition for Juilliard. Even though I've never even heard of, like, people showing up to watch your audition to get into a college.
Right.
I've never – but maybe that is a thing. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it was
right.
just added for
it's
flair.
Just she needed the support, like – I've heard of parents.
The moral support.
Yeah, the like they go they drive with you and then they wait sort of in a waiting area, but they're not allowed in the room, I don't think.
No, she wanted her in the room to watch her dance.
Fair enough.
So so and the mom is like, oh, I don't know if I can make it. Like she has something.
Oh, she has to work her.
Yeah, she has something else that she needs to do. And she and Julia Stiles is like, no, mom, you have to be there. She's kind of being a little bratty.
Uh-huh.
And then it shows her mom rushing in the car to her audition, and she's in the middle of her audition. You can see she's really pissed because her mom's not there, and then her mom gets in a car accident and dies.
Of course she
does. On the way to the audition.
Are these Disney movies? They're killing the moms. They're killing the dads. They're breaking the legs of the peoples.
Yeah. It's, they. I mean, they definitely took a page out of that book.
Yeah, you have to artificially create tragedy.
Yeah.
And get there quick if you're going to have this coming of age thing. Somebody has to be an orphan if they have to figure their shit out.
Yeah, well, they needed two things from this setup. They needed her to physically have to move to the new place. So the where she's headed on this train is to Chicago, where her dad lives, who's been absent from her life.
Oh, okay.
Because she doesn't have a mom anymore. She has to go live with her dad.
Right.
Her dad lives on the south side of Chicago.
Oh. So so Richie Rich is now going to have to live with the common man.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So and you feel, you know, pretty bad for her because he lives in a very broken down apartment, the wallpaper's peeling off the walls, there's sirens in the background. There's all the signs of like, this is not.
There's crime. There's crime. Yes.
And he is a jazz musician, her dad.
Okay.
So he's kind of like not really there also, and she needs somebody to be there for her, and he's not. So it's, you know, you have a lot of empathy for her.
Right.
So so they needed the mom to die so that she would have to go to Chicago and live with her dad and be in this rough circumstance. But also they needed her mom to die because when her mom died, since it was while she was dancing and during this big audition and all of this drama was revolving around her wanting her mom to be at the audition, she quits dancing.
She shuts it down.
Yeah. She's like, not anymore.
Not anymore.
I can't dance anymore because, as she says in the film, she was dying while I was dancing.
Yeah. That is. Slow clap, you guys. That's she a was slow dying jock crap right there.
While I was dancing clap. And I was mad at her is the direct quote. So she's going to a brand new high school. She's down and out. She doesn't have anything in her life anymore because her life was about dancing. It's her truest love.
Right. So, now she's just going to class and kind of moping around.
Just going to high school. Yep. It's her senior year. Same idea. Like she doesn't have a direction to go in.
Yeah, yeah.
And she starts making friends, and she also meets this guy who is kind of like her foil in a way, if you're familiar with that trope. Like they're very similar in that they both love literature. They meet in English class, but he reflects the things that she's annoyed with about herself.
Okay.
So she doesn't like him at first because he's kind of a smart aleck, and they have like arguments in the class about what Hemingway is writing about and all this bullshit, right?
Right, right. Because when you're 17.
Yeah. What else are you going to argue about?
Exactly.
You're the only two smart people in this
right, in the class
school full of criminals. So what are we doing here? But she hates him, but really she's attracted to him.
And sure.
There's sexual tension. You could cut it with a knife.
Sure.
So simultaneously, they all the like cool kids in this school go to this nightclub, and they have fake IDs. There's a whole storyline about the fake IDs, and like they get her into this nightclub, and he comes up to her, asks her to dance, but she doesn't know how to dance hip hop style. She's a prima ballerina, but she has no idea how to kill it on the dance floor in the south side of Chicago. Okay?
Right, right.
No clue. So they're like two-stepping, and she doesn't really know what she's doing. And it sparks this relationship that they have. They don't hate each other anymore. They've broken the ice. They're now friends. And he, for some reason, offers or she asks – it's not explained, but they start having dance lessons together.
Okay.
So they meet in like this weird abandoned building because there's always abandoned buildings
to
rehearse
where you can have a boombox going.
Totally.
Let's do this.
And he teaches her like hip hop moves.
Okay.
And they go up in the club and they do these weird choreographed dances that you would never do in real life. You would look like a total dork.
Right.
But in this version of reality, everyone's staring and they want in on it.
Right, right. Yeah.
Now, okay. So while this is happening, they're getting closer and he discovers that she knows ballet. She had never even mentioned ballet before.
Sure.
So he takes her. It's her secret. She can't share it with anyone.
No.
So he's like, I'm going to do something nice for her. So I'm going to take her to the ballet. So he takes her to the ballet. She's tears are streaming down her face. It's triggering a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that is the infamous scene where she explains why she doesn't dance anymore.
Oh, right.
And how her mom died and how, like, she can't.
She killed her with her dancing.
She killed her with her dancing.
Yes.
And her bad attitude.
And her, yes.
And now, like, she can't do the thing she loves because her mom isn't there.
Right.
So in about 20 seconds, he convinces her that she should start dancing again.
Well, your mom would want you to,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
This type of thing.
Your mom would still want you to be happy and pursue your dreams.
Right. She tried to make it. That's why she was coming to see it, kid.
I know. It's actually, when you think about it, it's actually like dishonoring her by not doing it.
Right, right. Because she literally died trying to see you do the thing that she wanted you to do.
Never even thought of it that way. Like, we're unlocking so many layers to this.
It's beautiful, you guys. Oh, by the way, I'm talking to Emily Lubin, and it's Lubination on Twitter, of course, and it's Hot Mess Comedy Hour on Instagram and Hot Mess Comedy Podcast.
Hot Mess Podcast.
Just Hot Mess Podcast.
It's very confusing. Twitter doesn't let you have as many characters as Instagram, so it's always, like, very tricky. Yeah.
So, and it's on iTunes. It's on all the things.
Yeah, it's wherever you get podcasts. It's the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
Get it? Okay, so. Now she's back.
So now she's back. She's getting back in shape. She plans to have another audition at Juilliard.
Oh.
Now this is where things start getting messy. So. Everybody is really not into the whole idea of Derek and Sarah dating. Those are the two characters.
Sure.
Because they are interracial.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I didn't even get into this before. It's a whole other layer.
It's a whole other layer.
Literally every single person in their lives are telling them that this is a bad idea for them to date because Derek
is – On the south side of Chicago in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying, you're not going to – there's too much melanin. There's not enough melanin. What's happening?
Well, as Derek's friend Malachi says to her at the nightclub, you're milk and we're oil and there ain't no point trying to mix.
Milk and oil. He's making a different – who wrote this? Anyway.
He's mixing metaphors for sure.
For sure.
It's a very poorly written movie, looking back.
And yet, you were a child and loved it. And do they rise above it?
They rise above it. She goes to the Juilliard audition. He is there. He's there filling the spot in her heart that her mom left.
Right.
And once again, which is also kind of a theme in Step Up that I covered, the flair that she learned from the hip hop adds to the power of her dance.
Yeah.
So she does one technical routine that shows that she's a bomb ass ballet dancer.
Right.
And then her second routine is kind of freestyle. She's wearing leather pants. She does a flip. She does this cool thing with a chair.
Right.
And it's all like kind of inspired by what he has taught her.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So then all things come together and love triumphs.
Yeah.
Through the power of dance.
Through the power of dance.
That's great. Is there a Save the Last Dance 2?
Not that I know of, but I can't say with certainty. I would never watch a sequel. This movie to me is too pure.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Hey, you guys. It's Jackie Cation. For away travel, it's luggage with power. That's their slogan. Because the carry-ons have a USB port that will charge your iPhone. Two different carry-ons they have a carry-on size, a bigger carry-on size. They also have a medium or a large for extended stays. But awaytravel.com, the carry-on size, you can plug your iPhone in. It'll charge it like five times. in one time. It is made of high quality materials. It's a lower price than a lot of stuff. It's got a really good four wheel rolly system. That's my favorite kind, the four wheel. And this one, I got the smaller carry on, and it's got a compression system. So you can fit I can fit a full weekend of stuff in the carry on. And then I could just do merch in the other bag. But it's a premium German polycarbonate with strength and impact resistant. It's very lightweight, actually. But there's 360 spinner wheels, four of those. There's a TSA combo lock. And the carry-ons have USB port chargers, which is my favorite thing about it, quite honestly. There's a lifetime warranty, 100-day trial offer. There's free shipping in the lower 48. If you're in New York City, Away Travel has a brick-and-mortar store. And for listeners, obviously, $20 off a suitcase if you go to awaytravel.com/dork. So the promo code is dork. I have the carry-on size. I have the small carry-on size because I always check a luggage with merch. But I love the USB port, and it rolls really good. Let's get back into the show.
I have the same feeling about the movie Overboard, which has just been re-released.
Yeah, why are they rebooting that? I saw that trailer. Why are they doing that?
Andy has a theory, and it is that the woman who's playing the Goldie Hawn part has always wanted to be Goldie Hawn.
Anna Faris, who's playing it. Yeah, she does look a lot like Goldie Hawn. But she's not playing her character. She is playing, they're doing a swap. So she's playing the Kurt Russell character, and I'm not sure who's opposite of her in the movie.
Right.
Is playing the Goldie Hawn character, because if they were to remake it today, it would come off super misogynistic.
Right, right. Because he's got her working 9 to 5. The last episode, by the way, was with Amy Miller, and her dorkdom was Dolly Parton. So I've been listening to Dolly Parton for 2 days, and then she gave me The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which I've yet to watch.
Fantastic.
Which I've never seen.
Seen it either.
9 to 5 and Best Little Whorehouse in Texas sound fascinating, quite honestly.
Dolly Parton fascinates me too. There's something really melancholy about her.
She wrote the Whitney Houston, like she's,
yeah.
I did not,
yeah, yeah.
What I know about Dolly Parton and Whitney Houston, let's do that, could fit on the head of a pin. So
you need to know more.
I needed to
They're
know
two
a little
power,
bit more.
Powerhouse women.
They were powerhouse ladies rocking it back in the day. So Overboard, yeah. So they switch it.
They switched it. And
that's
I think that's probably, I
that
mean,
might
it's
fix
probably,
it, actually.
You think? Well, I think
or make it into a different movie, anyway.
I think, yeah, the best that I could hope for it is that it'll make it into a completely different movie that, like, we won't need to compare the two so much. We could kind of just judge it on its own, but, like,
because Overboard holds up only because it's a caricature.
Yes.
And it isn't.
And so well acted, in my opinion.
Right. As far as like romantic comedies go, it is an adorable mess.
Yes.
And it's not.
That's another example of two characters that are destined for love in the movie and also found love in real life.
And have been together for like 35 years something or more.
Incredible.
I don't even know. It's adorable. So,
Goldie and Kurt, my heart
Goldie
goes
and
out
Kurt.
To you.
They're great. Okay. So. Those two movies, what else? What other movies are in that genre?
Yeah, so you got your Center Stage. Are you familiar with Center Stage?
I've never even heard of that one.
You got to get up on it. So Center Stage, it's actually also a ballet movie. A lot of these movies and some of my favorite ones incorporate different styles of dancing because I think that they challenge your idea of what that style is.
Did you ever take dance as a, like, besides that hip hop class in junior high?
You know, I took ballet when I was really little, like the same way that a lot of girls take ballet.
Yeah.
But my part of it might be that my sister took ballet for years. All through high school, she went to a ballet camp and was.
Oh, so she was ballet kid.
Yes, she was a ballet kid and always really into it.
So you had access to know, because I didn't know anything about ballet. I took ballet in college. We had to answer this question why we took it, and I said I wanted to learn how to cross the room on gossamer wings, and
I don't even know what that means.
It's a thing that's it's dumb.
Okay,
it's just a thing that I. It's like a gossamer is a cloth.
Okay.
And it's sort of like they made veils out of it, and they were like, so in the wind, it blows like a...
Like a chiffon?
Yes.
Okay.
It's sort of like that, but even lighter. So,
wow, lighter than a chiffon.
Yeah, very light.
That sounds delightful.
I don't have the weights of different...
I
either read it in a romance novel or I read it in some other historical fiction novel, and I thought the line was funny.
Yeah.
But I wanted to take it just... it just seemed interesting to take ballet one time. So I took
modern dance in college as an elective also.
What was that? Crawling around on the floor a lot? What happened?
It was... I mean... It's a lot of the moves are similar to ballet. Like there is a plié, there is a sashay, like whatever, but they're more staccato.
Okay.
They're less and more, everything's turned in, whereas in ballet, everything's turned out. It's much more loosey goosey and open to interpretation.
Yeah.
I liked it, but
yeah.
But yeah, my sister loved ballet. She also loved dance movies. I think we really bonded with each other by watching these movies, Center Stage being a main one.
Okay. When did that one come out?
Is that an early
90s. One? Oh, late 90s. So even earlier.
Yeah. Okay. It's earlier than Save the Last
Dance. Do you remember who's in that one or?
Actually a young Zoe Saldana is in it.
Really?
Yeah. She plays like the badass ballet dancer that has a lot of talent, but none of the respect for the teachers and like smokes cigarettes out like outside the,
who knew the rebels that are in ballet?
Oh yeah. And like there's one of the major reasons why her dance instructor doesn't like her is because she shows up on the first day wearing like this funky sheer black leotard with a high neck and a sarong tied around like a tropical colored little scarf tied around her waist.
Right.
And the instructor goes up to her and says, we have a dress code here, black leotard, pink tights. And Zoe Saldana just looks back at her and says, stylish, and blows a bubble with her chewing gum. And the instructor says, you can't be chewing gum in here. And she swallows the gum right in front of her. So she's a badass.
And we all know that's
It's
gutsy stuff.
Yeah.
Especially if you're like 11 watching that going,
oh yeah. She doesn't give a fuck about authority. She doesn't give a fuck. I wanted to be Zoe Saldana in this movie.
Oh my God.
But she's so talented and they can't, you know, she kind of gets away with it because she has the raw ability to dance.
Yeah.
So there's her and then everybody else. I actually don't know their names, but some of the actors in it are legit ballet dancers, and I have gone to ballets since.
Well, that's cool.
And seen their pictures in the in the program.
Right.
So it had that element too of like, it was a little bit more, there was a lot of ballet in it.
Right. Was she a broken home?
So no, this one is a little bit different. So this one is about a girl who gets into this ballet school. And the idea of the ballet school is it's an alternative to college. So this is where serious dancers go when they want to dance professionally.
Okay.
And they have a program like
A tech school kind of thing.
Yeah, like a tech school. So that's all they're doing all day. I don't see them going to any legit classes at all that are not dance related. But day in and day out, they're learning from the best people who work at this dance company that owns the school. And the idea is at the end of the year, they pick 3 boys and 3 girls to be in the company.
Okay.
So everybody's trying to show up. Everybody wants to do their best and impress the teachers and the director of the company, who is played by Peter Gallagher, I just remembered.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So the pressure's on, and the idea – you get the idea from the beginning that they don't really pick her to be in the program because she's a phenomenal dancer. They pick her because she's really beautiful.
Oh.
So – even
they
in
they picked her for her looks?
For her looks, yeah. So they you
that's
see
kind of interesting
you
twist.
You hear them whispering about her in the beginning when she's having her audition to get into the school, and they're saying, oh yeah, her turnout kind of sucks, and she doesn't have great feet. Like she clearly, like all of these ideals that they want in a right. ballet dancer, she doesn't really have the natural ability the way that Zoe Saldana has.
Right.
But they're like, oh, but look at her. Like, she looks so beautiful when she's dancing. So she gets in.
Right.
So it's very clear from the beginning that, like, she's the underdog. She's not – because there are amazing dancers at this school.
Right. And she just – all she has is these amazing good looks.
Yeah.
Which is such an interesting twist of something to do. That's fascinating because, I mean, that's real. That's as real as anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
people skating by on their good looks to, like, try to get ahead in this world.
Or not getting into things because they're not good looking.
Yeah.
Is this weird. And then, so then she has to prove herself that she is also, can do the work.
Oh, yeah. And she, and you see her really going through the process. They actually, I think midway through the program, the director brings her in and he wasn't involved in the selection process. It was, you know, they were selected by a team of, whatever, experts in
like
the city or
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he brings her in and he's saying, you know, you've been at this for weeks and weeks and we don't see you improving. So I'm just trying to be realistic with you. Like, this might not be the right place for you. And she can't accept it. She just, this is what she wants. And all her friends are telling her, no, stick it out. But she didn't, this is severe. Like, she didn't go to college because she wants to be a professional ballet dancer.
Right, right.
So she's busting her ass. You see her working overtime. Her feet are bleeding. Like, it's
wow.
It's not a joke.
Right.
And she also gets involved with one of the principal dancers at the company.
Okay. Oh, wow.
They're
adult.
Sleeping together. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little May, December.
A little seedy.
Little. It may not hold up.
Yeah,
but.
Definitely not. There's mm-hmm. some manipulation going on. We've all been there. But she, you know, I'm not going to get too into it, but I have related to this girl at some points in my life. So.
Yes.
She, like the Step Up movie, they have a showcase at the end and people come and see it and judge how good they are. And that's how they pick the people who are going to be in the company.
Fair enough.
So there are – oh, sorry. There are different
– no worries.
I tapped the mic for those sitting at home.
Yes.
She gets into – they have a few different ballets that they're going to be showing at the showcase and they're all directed by different people at the company. So the guy who she was sleeping with
– right.
He wrote a ballet himself.
Yes.
He wrote a fresh new ballet that has like Michael Jackson music in it.
Oh,
and
there you
very,
go.
You know, outside the genre. Mm-hmm. Once again,
modern.
Outside the genre. and he casts her as the lead.
Okay. Now, are they still together when he casts her as the lead?
In the very beginning, they're still sleeping together and you can tell that he wants to leave the door open a little bit, but he doesn't want to be with her for real.
Right.
She's like kind of really enamored with him,
yeah.
kind of falling in love with him, it seems, but he doesn't want anything to do with her.
She's super pretty. So
yeah.
They had sex.
Yes.
Okay. But he casts her anyway, to some extent.
He casts her anyway because, you know, she's like his muse in a way. You get a very like – you get kind of a Scarlett Johansson with Woody Allen
okay.
vibe.
Yes.
Like this is kind of okay. creepy but also like
– I see what this is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost as if he were to say like, I wrote this ballet and I can't imagine anyone else to be the lead
okay.
because I need this like young, sexy, vivacious girl and that's you.
Okay.
He didn't say as much.
Any of that.
But you get the
yeah.
vibe.
Right.
So – she's in the play, the ballet, and as they're rehearsing for it, they have this huge falling out. She realizes that he doesn't want to be with her. She gets super mad, and then there's a whole B plot with like one of her classmates who's in love with her,
mm-hmm,
sees
mm-hmm.
that she's in love with the director.
Right.
So he has to inspire her to take out whatever she's feeling.
Yep. And just
dance. Whatever you're feeling, just
yeah.
dance it.
Dance it out.
Yes.
Yes.
So she does. She kills it in this ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, there's kind of a twist. She doesn't they call her in to tell her whether she got into the company or not. And she's like, I'm going to stop you right there. I don't want to know if I got into the company. I'm going to go be a principal dancer in this dude's company because he's starting his own company.
Oh, the director?
Yeah.
Okay.
So instead of her original dream, which yeah. was to be in this huge ballet company that has a lot of prestige that she's probably like wanted to be in since she was a child.
Right.
She chooses to be in a place where she feels she can really shine.
Interesting. What a weird movie.
Yeah, super weird. It's very enjoyable, though. I highly recommend it.
It sounds amazing. Does she end up is there a love interest with the inspirational friend guy?
Yes, the inspirational friend, they end up together.
Oh, that's very adorable.
Yeah.
And now we've gone through three films here. We've gone through Step Up, we've gone through Save the Last Dance, and now Center Stage. Mm-hmm. Do you know how there is those B plots in Footloose and Flashdance?
Yeah.
Do you see any sociopolitical introduction? Like, my other example is Blue Crush. Remember Blue Crush?
You know what? I never saw Blue Crush.
Well, the B plot of Blue Crush is that true happiness is found through corporate sponsorship. That is the message.
Oh my God, I need to see it now.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. And it's a surfing movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with it, and I've been told to watch it. That was another movie that was very of the moment, like in
right.
the early 2000s.
Right, right. It's dumb, but enjoyable.
Do they want to be professional surfers? Is
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's essentially, it's Lilo and Stitch, but
great movie.
But not animated. And
No aliens.
No aliens and surfing. So, but it's, you know, it's a story, it's a coming of age kind of thing as well, because she mm-hmm. wants to surf and the boys don't want her to surf and
of course
people,
they don't.
Right.
And everybody's trying to keep women down.
Trying to keep women down, yeah. man. And, but she is a really good surfer. And so she's looking for corporate sponsorship.
Kate Bosworth?
Probably. Right? Sure. She seems, very fit. Does a lot of sit-ups.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's all working out for her. And,
yeah, she's looking snatched. Always. Always.
Right. So I was just wondering, like, is there any sort of, like, sometimes it's just the weirdest little message of, like, no, people should study really hard or people should, you know, I'm trying to figure out, like, Overboard. It was, the original Overboard was that don't give up on yourself because of, The mini golf was that was the B plot for me, was that even if your dreams are not global, they are value.
Right. Yes. And another thing that I took away from it was that, you know, when she had unlimited money and unlimited resources, she was doing nothing with her life. And
right.
then when she had, you know, very minimal resources, lived a much simpler life, that's when her creativity, she was really able to access her creativity. So I actually took it from the perspective of like how to succeed creatively.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
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 Oh, Goldie Hawn in Overboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that the regular plot of that was how to turn her sort of into a whole person, right?
Yeah.
Where she started giving back to those kids and she started learning how to take care of herself. And it was not this, I dropped an earring in somewhere mm-hmm. between
52nd
and 56th.
Life is not about material things.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was just like, it's kind of about material things, but it's not. It's right. So I don't know. Like Center Stage, does she have parents in this?
She has parents, and her parents are not supportive of her at all.
They wanted her to go to regular college.
They wanted her to go to college. They really tried to talk her out of it. And it's interesting because that's very practical, and especially considering the fact that she is not a good dancer.
Right. She's not the greatest dancer.
They've given her, these dance school people have given her this sense of false hope that she's going to make it into this company. And in the beginning, it really looks like she's not going to.
Right.
It turns out in the end that you don't know if she was going to make it or not. But
right.
Her parents were not wrong to say, you know, University of
whatever
Massachusetts has yeah. a great dance program, honey. You can still dance. You don't have to do it professionally. They seem like assholes for saying that, but they're not. They just want her to live a happy, successful life.
Right, right. And this is a crapshoot that she's giving essentially she's giving up a year, right?
Yes.
And to give 110%, and then she'll find out if she makes this thing. And what happens at the end is we don't find out if she would have made it, but she does professionally start to dance.
Yes.
With this guy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I mean, it's such a story of showbiz in general.
It actually, it is. And there are other characters in it that kind of fit with that theme. Like there's a girl in it who they essentially kick her out of school because she's gained too much weight.
Oh, right. So there's that. Well, you know, I've said this too before. It's like 2 weeks notice and the music one with Drew Barrymore.
Music and lyrics,
right? A couple of great movies written and directed by the same guy. And both of them.
That makes so much sense.
Yes. He also did the one with Sarah Jessica Parker and Hugh Grant. It's a triptych. The one with Sarah Jessica Parker is horrible. It's something about the Morgans.
Oh, and did you hear about the Morgans?
Something like that. Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay.
Anyway, but those other two are great in the world of romantic comedies.
Yeah.
They are a delight. And
yeah, there is something to be said for a romantic comedy done well.
And he nailed him. But he's only really good in both cases. He was in New York. And for some reason, in the city it worked. He stuck those people in the woods in Colorado. And it all fell apart. I don't know why he took him out of New York. Yeah. Anyway, he should have stuck him in a different city, maybe. But he put him in the woods, and he doesn't know how to ride the woods for some reason.
Doesn't know the woods. He needs to write what he knows.
He totally needs to, because Music and Lyrics was hilarious and sweet and funny. And so was 2 Weeks Notice.
How do you feel about 50 First Dates?
I was driven mad by 50 First
really?
Dates. Yes, because I was like, first, Adam Sandler drives me a little nuts just because I think I missed the window where I was supposed to like him. So it was – I think I saw him too late. I actually saw him do a set about a month ago, and it made me like him more.
Really?
Right. Because his stand-up was – it came from a real place. It was honest. It wasn't gross at all. And I was pleased as punch.
Yeah, you know,
I think
it's –
he also didn't run the light. He did like 15 to 17 minutes.
Really?
And he was supposed to do 12, which means he might have gone over 5 minutes, which is nothing.
Wow, I'm so happy to hear that, actually.
I was psyched.
Yeah, you don't see that happen.
Right.
More often what happens is that, you know, people will – reach a relative success early on with comedy, and then they'll have a window into comedic acting.
Right.
And then they just kind of – not coast on that, but they fall into that for a while and then maybe try to do stand-up again, and it's just – it doesn't translate.
And they forget that. Right. It doesn't translate, or they don't do the work to get it back.
Yes.
Like Seinfeld did the work to get it back.
Totally.
You know? And – the guy's a monster, but Cosby did the work to get it back.
Yeah.
You know? So and Seinfeld, Cosby, I'm sure Louis C.K. will do the work. And whatever happens, happens. It's I don't have any – whatever. So but in both 2 Weeks Notice and in Music and Lyrics, there was this weird B-plot about eating disorders. There was like an overeating thing that was happening.
Oh, you know what? I actually have something to say about this.
Please do.
I hate this archetype that we have decided is cute or sexy in on TV and in movies. That is like this tiny, cute woman that just eats all day, and it's like something that makes her quirky.
Gilmore Girls.
What?
Gilmore Girls was full of that.
Gilmore Girls.
Entirely.
I was very into Gilmore Girls when I was younger. I watched it from start to finish when it was on TV.
Power of the Sun, I loved that thing.
Yeah, I really love Gilmore Girls.
But it's flawed.
When I watch it now, when I watch like reruns or whatever, what stands out to me is that they're depicting like this idea of like a man's ideal woman, and it's, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like these tiny women that just eat constantly and don't give a fuck, and but they're stay also magically small. And
magically small and magically tricked out in the greatest clothes in the world, but she's supposed to be a single mom.
Yeah.
And not getting any help from her parents, even though they're fabulously wealthy.
Yeah, where are you getting those citizens' jeans, exactly. Lauren Graham? I know you're not getting those citizens' jeans at TJ Maxx, okay?
Exactly.
But. Yeah, so. I'm speaking, this is very personal, but I am a binge eater. I have been a binge eater since childhood.
Yeah.
And it is a very painful thing. And I think, you know, if anybody was like, said to me, oh, it's like adorable how you can't control yourself in front of a plate of food, I would tell them to go pound
fuck
sand.
Themselves. Yes. Yeah. Fair enough. It's, it's weird that, because a lot of these movies are, we love them so much because they trigger really like, yes, I want to be the best dancer. Yes, I want to be the best writer. I want to be this.
But I don't want to put any effort into it.
Right. I want to be this effortless lawyer who can also, you know, do whatever, you know, order 7 orders of Chinese food.
Yeah. And it's kind of like I have this fantasy, and I think a lot of people have this fantasy. Sometimes I'll hear a song that I like, mm-hmm. and I will fantasize that I am playing the song and or singing the song
sure.
live
yeah.
to a group of people, and they're so impressed.
And they're into it.
And they're
you're
into
nailing
it. I'm nailing it. I'm giving the performance of my life. But meanwhile, I stopped playing guitar when I was 11 years old.
Right.
I could maybe do, you know, 3 chords and not in any order that would make up a song. And I don't have a good singing
right.
voice. But if I wanted to go for those things, I could.
You could.
It's just much easier to fantasize about it on
yes.
the train.
I want to have written a novel. I yeah. don't want to write a novel.
Yeah, who does?
It's a lot of work.
It's
And
yeah.
every time I meet someone who's written a novel, I'm like, you're incredible. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's what I do. But then people meet me and they're like, you do stand up. And I was like, yeah, it's what I want to do. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's literally you have to find something that you do want to do. And then there's all of these other things that our movies are for, which is, you know, you can live vicariously through the dance.
Totally.
And you know, whatever. By the way, it's an hour.
It's been the best hour of my life.
This has been a fascinating hour as we went deep into 3 very danceable movies,
you guys. You know what? An hour is not even quite enough time to watch a full-length feature dance movie.
No.
But I gave you 3 at least.
You really did.
So.
And these are good ones. Everybody, I've been talking with Emily Lubin. It is at Lubination on Twitter, at Hot Mess Podcast on Twitter, and Hot Mess Comedy Hour on Instagram, and that's what it is on iTunes.
Yes.
So thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
All right. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?